Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Return to sender. Mailer Damon.
Mailer Damon.
Whenever I get a Mailer Damon, or when I did, because I don't think it's around anymore.
Mailer Damon still pops up every once in a while.
But it always felt like,
Mailer Damon.
Damon. Yeah, it's a Mailer Demon to me always.
Or you can call someone who is in a place of Nunca.
A Mailer Damon.
A Mailer Damon.
Yeah, that is a specific place of Nunca.
A place of Mailer Damon.
Mm-hmm.
A place of Mailer Damon.
You're really in a place of Mailer Damon.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy
Unique
Podcast.
Top Sicilian bitches. My God, guys. Today's the finale episode.
We have reached almost the end of the line. The end of the regular episodes.
Moving on to the reunions next week. It's been a really, really busy season.
It's been an incredible...
I still, like, today I was just thinking about it when I was watching earlier, and I was just like, this season really, you know, I think brought the entire franchise of Housewives to a new level.
Definitely.
Like, there was physical contact. I mean, the table flipping was one thing, but this was like... drama.
So nonstop drama, death threats, lawsuits, mafia.
Worrying about being sent to hell, a trip
to
Italy.
Houses in foreclosure, trips to Italy, bodyguards.
I mean, it was.
It had
Kim
it all.
Kim D.
RIP Kim D.
Oh my God. Okay. So Kim D had the posh fashion show last week.
Yes.
And someone alerted me to it, a listener, and Kim D posted like the most Insta stories I've ever seen other than like Azealia Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all from the show. It's definitely, they've had the downsize. So it was at this very small like banquet space with a giant wood floor. And they had this like MC who was like this clearly, I think he was gay, like bald, like shaved head, like muscle guy who mm-hmm. was like wearing a striped shirt and was like, he was like escorting each of the models down the runway in quotes.
Why
was,
like, escorting them? Like, so they couldn't walk on their own.
But he was just like, he was like doing all, and I was kind of like, why are you in?
Why are you stealing their thunder?
Yeah, it felt like I was like, who is this guy?
About you.
He looked like Joe Gorga, except less hot. And mm-hmm. I was like, why are you doing this? And mm-hmm. I was like, watching these stories, I was getting more annoyed. And they did like a full, like, I'll play you the audio, but they did like a full like edit of it. Like she had a professional videographer like create this video, and it's an experience. Hold on.
Yes, send. Yeah, I love this video. Kim D is fully Satan.
Yeah.
There's a choreographed dance. Who sings that song, actually?
I don't know. Like the original one?
No, the like, oh. This like remix.
This is the rhythm of the...
This is the rhythm.
This picture, though?
This is me trying to explain Vanderpump Rules to people that haven't watched it.
But it looked like it was almost maybe even filmed in like someone's house, but it was like
it's like very, a basement.
And Kim D, all these like she has. It seems like she has a whole new like set of friends.
Yeah,
and but
people like that, I feel like tend to
shift
move,
friends.
Yeah, yeah, different friend group to friend group.
But how about that guy being like? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Why, get out of here.
Also, what is this? Like, there was a choreographed dance, like, single lady style with, like,
three off the shoulder, like...
three full body,
yeah, like shoulderless
Italian
yeah.
Jersey girls.
And they all like, stick their arm up in the air and...
Woo! They got wooed, and then... But I was like, is that part of the fashion show? Are they wearing fashions from Posh to do this dance? Or is this just, like... Also, I love that this was a video of the Posh fashion show that I didn't see any fashion. Like, there was no runway.
It was kind of like, it was like, you know, in Romeo plus Juliet when Mercutio does his...
Yeah.
His big...
When he shows up at
dance.
The party.
Yeah. Dun, dun.
Young hearts.
Young hearts. Run free.
Caught up like my mini me.
When he goes, the drugs work quick. And his eyes go...
I really never understood what was going
on. Me neither.
Until I became an adult. And then I was like, oh, they took ecstasy.
They were rolling.
They were rolling. No wonder he fell in love with Juliet.
I know.
He's high off his fucking balls.
But, yeah, but really happy for Kim D that the tradition continues.
Yeah.
I really wish that our show had been in New York, had been like...
Close,
so we could have
timing wise
the
to the Posh
show.
Fashion show. Yeah,
but maybe we'll have to fly out and just like crash it next year.
I think so. I think we should get invited next year. I think it would be in her best interest to invite us.
It looked like it was filmed in like a underground
finished basement.
Yeah, it didn't look like
it was in someone's house for sure.
It was very Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah.
Like every,
it was Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Except Kim D's eyes were wide open, but she had like a very wild, like raccoon eye makeup journey going on.
She looks
on.
Out of her. She looks.
I love the tactic.
She looks like Pumpkinhead.
What is that? That horror movie? Pumpkinhead?
I'll show you.
There's a tactic that some older women use, or like women of a certain age, that's like. The older you get, the more smoky your eye makeup gets. And she's doing that. And I don't think it's ever a good look. Because I feel like it makes your eyes look a lot smaller. Oh my God.
She's serving me like Pumpkinhead vibes.
She's fully Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
I just, you know what's wild is that I don't even know what Pumpkinhead is, but I knew what it was. And then you showed me and I was like, I know, my soul knows Pumpkinhead, even though I
don't. You've probably seen it in like Blockbuster.
My mind,
like,
yeah.
West Coast Video.
It was always a Blockbuster. No.
Oh,
I mean, we were
Hollywood
in Oklahoma.
Video.
We had Hollywood Video. That's where I would go if Blockbuster wasn't serving up the goods. I'd take it to Hollywood Video, which made me feel kind of dirty, but I was like...
Hollywood Video was definitely like...
Hollywood Video was no Blockbuster.
It was a little trashy.
It was trashy.
But I liked it.
Its color scheme was an untrustworthy red, yellow, and purple.
It was so 80s.
Yeah, it was very 80s.
Hollywood Video was like
80s, but then came around in the 90s, which was confusing. Yeah.
When I think of Hollywood Video, for some reason, I think of like Jay Leno show at its prime.
Okay. Yeah, it has like a late night TV set energy. Yeah.
Why is that weird?
No, I get it.
Like early 90s.
I just was like, what is this color scheme? And then they throw some black in the mix. And I was like, ugh. Then there was like speckles on stuff.
I loved Blockbuster.
I loved.
I came up to my dad on the way to Blockbuster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I would spend hours in a Blockbuster just trying to figure out what to rent.
And then I would always settle
checking on... I would always check the key. Was you always check the counter to see if someone returned one of the new releases. Because sometimes they hadn't reshelved them and you could like... You could, that was a good life hack.
God, it was so fun to
I would
go.
Just stand in the horror aisle and read all the backs of every movie that I wasn't allowed to rent and like look at them. That's how I knew about Pumpkinhead, I think.
Definitely. Because like I remember there was one local video rental store and I couldn't go into it because there was a Child's Play
poster or something.
Yeah, like smack dab when you walk in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When I was a kid, I just couldn't go in there because Chucky terrified me so much. But Blockbuster was like a moment. And like you would go, it was like a thing to do.
I loved.
The smell. Remember the smell of the carpet? And like those like white, sharp shelves.
They were so sharp.
And all the candy was really good there.
And every movie, the way it was shelved, like it wasn't like a library where it's just shoved together and you see the spine. It was like perfectly displayed and spaced.
And just seeing the...
And remember just like being when you're just like, oh, I don't know if it's there. And then you would like go and like check behind. And then sometimes like the box would be there and then sometimes it wouldn't be.
Oh my God. Yes. The anguish of being like, oh my God.
You see like, you know, the day that the release is coming out and you would go, I'd try and get to Blockbuster so fast.
And they would have like a few copies of the new release.
Sometimes it just depended how big the movie was. Sometimes it would be a whole wall of like one new release. Like if it was like a Star Wars movie or something.
Godzilla.
But then if it was like a smaller, more niche film that you were like dying to see, you might have to wait.
I remember it would take me like an hour to decide on something. And I would always get Rosemary's Baby or The Omen 2.
I love.
But
Rosemary's Baby was one that I saw... I never saw until I was an adult, but I was one of the most terrifying boxes in Blockbuster.
With the green, where she's like,
with the green and that weird hand coming out of the stroller.
And she's like looking up.
Yeah. That one was iconic. I remember.
There was always a cover. The cover for the movie Salem's Lot terrified me.
Yeah, that was a scary one.
And like.
There was one movie called like Buried Alive or something, which was really. Like X-rated, and then I finally rented it as like a teen and watched it, but it was really like, it was very fucked up. It was like some guy that would like abduct people and then like bury them alive, but then like have sex with their corpses. And it was like really, it was even for Oklahoma City. No, it was like a weird, it was like very like B grindhouse movie, like
from the 70s.
I don't know.
Maybe
I just remember there was like kind of like a hot Barbie doll looking woman looking on the front, looking terrified. And she was like in her grave. And I was like, this is sexy, scary, dangerous. I need it.
That's my biggest fear.
Getting buried alive.
Yeah.
I can say with pretty 99.9% confidence it won't happen to you.
I know.
But like, you never know. We do live in LA in an earthquake.
Yeah, we live in LA.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more like...
But we live in LA, so you never know.
I feel like I'm more likely to be buried alive in LA than in New York.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like taken out to the Angeles Forest.
Oh, you think that you're just going to get like abducted and buried alive?
Or buried alive in WeHo.
Yeah. I'm like buried alive in a parking garage is my greatest fear.
Like pinned, bone collector.
Pinned in a parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
That is like what I really don't want to happen.
Oh my God. There was a cover for this movie that was called like Deep Sea Six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like right around the Abyss. And it was like another like beat. It was
like a knockoff Abyss.
And it was like the cover was this scuba, like one of those like deep sea diving suits with like, look like a space suit, like traveling up to the surface.
I think with a
severed half, and it just says like terror strikes below, like
wow,
at 20,000 feet or something.
So it was like a Jaws-esque poster. Yeah. You just adjusted your whole body. I love that. Yeah, Blockbusters was everything to me.
And they're not going to have it anymore. These kids today don't know.
You'll never know.
They won't know. Right?
No. The Blockbusters has been gone for over 10 years.
Holy shit. Like
there's no Blockbuster. Maybe it's been gone for longer.
Yeah, I think 10 or plus years. I
think they have Redbox now, which I still... I've done Redbox once. Yeah. I felt weird about it.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, there's something like... And then I remember grocery stores used to have like...
rentals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that also felt wrong to me.
Yeah.
But the movies you could buy was fun, mm-hmm. especially when they were like...
They were so random.
$4.99, yeah.
Yeah, they were like the most random movies. And you were like, sure, I want... You know...
A VHS tape was a real moment in time.
I know. Also, the trailers on the VHS tape.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You'd have to fast forward if you wanted to. But then I would never fast forward. I love a movie trailer.
Yeah.
I'll sit on Apple and watch movie trailers for hours.
I love a trailer. I also, the VCR I remember the most, though, like the lead up to the actual, is Adventures in Babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
When it, I remember the trailers leading up to it, and then I remember... Remember Touchstone Pictures?
Yeah.
With the light hitting the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing that, like, and then he kissed me song, like, gearing up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it. I can just, like, I could, like, draw it if I had to.
My top three VHSs were Clueless. That was, like, always my, like, go-to safety movie.
Remember? Top. Oh, my God. Remember in Clueless when it's the Paramount sign and the song is already in here, like... And it's like...
Looking at a dirty old window.
I know, but there's, like, this weird synth. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes... Looking at my dirty old window.
Outside the stars in the city go rushing by.
I sit here alone and I wonder why. Bum, bum, bum.
So it was Clueless, Tommy Boy, and The Breakfast Club. And those were my three. And they really satisfied all three, like my holy trinity of movie needs.
Mm.
You had like girl-driven comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You had Chris Farley, my fucking king.
David
Tommy
Spade.
Boy still is one of the funniest movies it's of all so time good. To me. And The Breakfast Club, which truly the first time I saw that, my brain broke. I was like, how is this movie so deep and so real? I was like, they get what it's like to be a teen.
I think I watched The Breakfast Club on like TNT. Remember when they used to have like Saturday, like movie of the week, mm-hmm. movie of the weekend or something?
Mm-hmm.
Mine were Adventures in Babysitting, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Love.
And
you're emo.
I know.
You are emo.
And like, this is, I'm talking when I was like younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound is a classic.
I loved Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
Was it Roseanne in Homeward Bound? Yes.
She was?
Yeah.
Who was she?
She was Sassy the Cat.
No, that was Sally Field.
Oh, Sally Field. Fuck. Roseanne was in
Roseanne's
Look
in like Look Who's Talking.
And Diane Keaton was in Look Who's Talking Now.
Yeah.
Shit. Sally Field.
Sally Field is Sassy.
Who was it? Michael J. Fox was Chance.
Mm-hmm.
And was it like Liam Neeson or something?
Someone like that.
Who voiced Shadow? That was a sad movie. Also, Beethoven Second.
Beethoven, yeah, that was great. Those were like when I, because I'm a little older than you, so those were like my movies as like a very, very young kid. Mm-hmm. Like Homeward Bound, Toy Story.
Yeah.
That's what we'd watch on like road trips with my mom because she had a huge Chevy van with a TV in the center console with it was like a TV VHS combo with like a 10 inch screen.
Oh, we had that too.
Yeah. And we'd go on road trips to like Colorado.
I always wanted to throw up when I would watch those on the.
You were car sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, would sit and she had one backseat that could flatten all the way out. Oh. So, but usually, like, some of my siblings would be, like, laying on there, like, rolling around. I was, like, in a pilot seat, yeah. like, in the center, manning the VCR. For the most part, I really yeah. tried to.
Don Amici did Shadow's voice. Like, that, like...
Who's that?
He's, like, a star of silver screens.
Oh, love that.
He was, like, vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
But Sally fucking Field...
And Milo and Otis, that was another classic for us.
Oh, and remember Philo Goes Home? Philo Goes West.
Yeah, which was a lol compared to An American Tale, which was truly one of the most terrifying movies
so
I've ever
scary.
Seen.
Also,
American Tale is like satanically scary. Is.
And Brave Little Toaster was scary. And
that movie made me too sad to watch.
And All Dogs Go to Heaven.
And remember The Secrets of Nymph or The Secret yeah. Rats of Nymph?
Yes.
And they're always like falling down a K-hole. They're like getting like weird science testing on these like rats. I was like, miss me. Like where I want like Aladdin.
Remember the scene where the one rat is like can't see anything?
Yeah.
And they're like, the lights are coming. What was that? It was trying to get him. But All Dogs Go to Heaven scared me.
Yeah, that was too much.
And then... shit, what was the other one that really freaked me out? Oh, Adventures of Nemo in Slumberland.
Oh, I liked that one.
It was good, but it was scared
It was really
me.
Good. I just loved that his bed could fly.
Yeah.
That really was a magical thing to me. And it just seemed like it was like magical and kind of surreal. Yeah. So it didn't seem as like terrifying as right. like Secrets of Nymph.
But yeah,
or Nim, Secrets
rats
of Nim.
Nim,
Rats of Nim, whatever it's called,
the Rats of Nymph.
It was too much.
It was a lot. Also, well, now I'm like triggered by American Tale.
Ferngully was fucked up, but
Ferngully
cool.
was Hexus.
Yeah,
and
Ferngully, we were on a global warming tip way long ago, and
I
still
know.
No one listened.
I know. Simon named one of his shows Ferngully.
I love.
It's like. It stays, it's there.
Ferngully's here.
Who voiced the girl? Wasn't it like
it
Samantha
was,
Mathis?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
She is.
Where is she?
I don't know.
And Robin Williams was in it.
Samantha Mathis was in the first Little Women movie. She yeah. plays grown-up Amy.
Yeah, which was so weird.
Which is weird. Like, how did Amy go from Kirsten Dunst to Kids. Samantha
Mathis? I know. Also, Florence Pugh, just showing her range that she played a 13-year-old.
I'm a Pugh head through and through.
Well, we
I
that.
Follow now no less than 4 Florence Pugh fan accounts on Twitter.
Really?
Because I just want to be able to keep up with what Florence Pugh is doing day to day. So I figured, let me just go full fan account and yeah. then they'll keep me posted.
She apparently has a great Instagram.
I think I follow her, but the algorithm is fucked. It never shows me what I want to see.
I think I saw a video someone posted on Twitter, like a screen grab of her, like, nursing a cacti back to health in
okay.
her trailer.
Yeah. Okay, I took out something I said.
That, no, that also I that,
that
I
Carrie,
said that,
that Carrie
you.
Said that I agreed with, and then I said, but then we were like, we can't have Florence be mad at us, so we took it out.
I just want her to be happy, and I want her to be happy for me.
Yeah. I want
happy,
her to be
and happy with me.
Yeah. I want her to be happy. I want us all to vibe on each other's vibes. I want her to listen to this podcast and laugh.
Do you think she watches like VP?
No.
I don't think she knows what it is.
I don't think she watches reality television.
Maybe she doesn't watch TV.
I feel like she doesn't have the time to watch
she's
any TV.
So she's booked.
She's
and busy.
Booked through 2029.
She is, because she's in the Marvel movies now.
Yeah.
She's probably in like 8 Marvel movies coming out.
Mm-hmm.
She's booked till the next decade.
Yeah. She won't have time to watch any TV, but I do hope that she discovers this podcast in like 2032 when she finally takes a break from acting, like yeah. a much needed break. Then she can listen, lol, and then she'll know that we were always Team Flo.
Well, I told you my dream guest for you.
Yeah.
J-Law.
J-Law, we're still gunning for it.
She's a pump head.
She's a pump head. I'll bet she watches Summer House. I'll bet she's watched Housewives of New Jersey.
I think she like, wasn't there something where she like called Jax out?
She's called Jax out. She's yeah. Lala's feuded with her. She yeah. didn't feud back, but Lala fully feuded.
J-Law doesn't feud.
No.
She's like just married to like.
She says no Cook. To feuding. And you know who I saw this past weekend at Freeze? Cook.
Cook Maloney?
Cook Maroney.
Maroney.
I literally was like rounded a corner as I was looking at all this art. And then I stopped in my tracks and I just was like, and then it was Cook.
Who's he with?
Well, he has a gallery. Yeah. He's like with that, I forget which one. Is it Hauser Worth or something?
Oh.
He's with like a big gallery in New York. So he was like at Freeze working.
Do you look good?
He looked great.
God.
I was like, wow, that's Cook.
Good for her.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you know what?
She sounded like a cool, like, New York art guy.
A cool art guy.
He's tall.
A tall, cool New York art guy. And he just seemed like a chill dude.
He has, like, bedroom eyes.
Yeah. He's a cutie.
Yeah.
And I like that, like, he's doing his work thing. You know what I mean? Like, he does his thing. Actually, I imagine she's doing her thing.
Bedroom eyes. I don't want to sound predatory.
No, I'm keeping it in.
You know what I'm talking about. He just has like this like kind of like sad.
He kind of has like a Tony eye going on.
Like puppy eyes.
Yeah. I liked it. I loved seeing him there. He was on the job doing what he does best, selling art.
Do you think he was like, babe, I got to go to Freeze?
I wondered if she like would come by or if she's like, he's got this.
Yeah, I was there for Simon and he met Peter Berlin.
Chic.
Who's like one of the like big like gay sex symbols of the 70s who just like took pictures of his own dick. There were a lot of people there.
I mean, Freeze J-Law, was a real scene.
J-Law could have been
there. J-Law could have easily come through. I mean, everyone, people were just walking around. I saw St. Vincent. She was wearing a huge puffy coat.
Really?
A massive coat. That was puffed all the way to the ground and a huge Chanel quilted purse. And I walked by and I was like, who is this puffy coat lady? I was there because in LA, you don't get really good fashion moments ever. Like, it's like there's a very LA way of dressing and it really doesn't go outside of that. But at Freeze, when all the art people gather together, you get serious fashion looks. Yeah. So I was in heaven. And then I just saw like puffy, huge puff from high neck to the ground. And I was like, I respect this puff journey. And then Ed was like, oh, that was St. Vincent. And I was like, thank God. Thank God. I love a puff and I love knowing the owner of the puff.
Was she wearing sunglasses?
No.
She had like gloves on?
No, but just a puff coat. She must have been really cold.
Do they know each other?
I think so. They toured together at one point. I think he opened for, or she opened for them. One or the other.
Who's she dating now?
I don't know. She was dating Cara Delevingne, but that was forever ago.
Wow. Now she's with Benson.
Yeah. I love.
Yeah.
I follow some Cara Delevingne, Ashley Benson Instagram fan accounts that stand there, that ship their relationship and just post like updates of them. I love a good fan account. I'll be honest.
Do I follow any?
I follow like 5 Olsen twin fan accounts. I follow a Cara and Ashley fan account. I follow Florence Pugh Twitter fan accounts, but not Instagram fan accounts.
You gotta give Flo some.
I gotta get some Insta fan accounts going. I love them. They post all the pictures you want. It's like a totally like reflect your interest back to you.
There's a fan account for every person.
Yeah, where's my fan account? There's sure one on Twitter that's like a babe fan account.
Really?
Yeah,
that's cute.
Which I love, but I need more. So.
I had a scary Twitter, like someone made a fake Twitter of me and like was posting like mean, like Photoshop when? Pictures of me. Like
mean you, Photoshop pictures
like,
of me?
Like pictures of me and then like writing like effusively like, I love Carrot, but it was like trolly.
Oh.
With like red.
That's scary.
And like made me have like big lips and like all this. It was a little scary.
Did you find out who is doing it? I don't like a troll account like that.
No, it was not. It was not.
It wasn't sweet.
It was not mean. It was a meme. But I posted it and I was like, this is, go check this out. Like I told everyone to go look at it. And I think it shut down.
Wow.
The internet's fun.
The internet is a fun place.
Mm-hmm. But I need to invest in more like celebrity fan instas.
Yeah.
Who would I follow?
I follow some like celebrity outfit Instagrams.
I feel like I follow a Gaga fan.
Yeah.
Because Gaga fans on Twitter are out of control.
Yeah. It's like every move she makes,
yeah,
they'll post about it.
She has a new boyfriend.
She does have a new boyfriend.
He's like hot.
He's kind of Italian. Is he Italian?
Yeah. Or he looks, he's dark. Like he's swarthy.
Yeah.
He looks like olive-skinned.
Yeah.
He's very cute.
He's cute.
And he like works in like tech.
Tech is the new move.
Wall Street.
Yeah. You don't want to marry, you don't want to date like actors or performers anymore. That's small potatoes.
She's never done that though.
A tech guy?
No, she's never done other famous people.
Well, she did that guy that was in like Chicago Fire or whatever.
Oh, well.
Famous.
But I did love them together.
I did love them together. He was so hot.
And they like, he was from Lancaster, which is where I went to college in central Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he like, his family had like a farm. And there were always videos of them like driving around like, she bought a house in central Pennsylvania for them. And like,
wow.
There's a video of them driving in a pickup truck with their like pug.
Wow.
Or French bulldog.
Okay. I was
like shirtless driving.
Didn't think that she was a pug owner. I'm pretty sure I know all the celebrity pug owners are.
She's a Frenchie owner. But it was just like, they just look so happy and
yeah,
tranquil.
I love being like so rich that when you date someone, you can just buy a house in their hometown.
Yeah.
That's like the level that I aspire to
me
be
too.
And like also like I want to be the person they buy the house, like I want to be like, oh, I like it here where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna just buy a house.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy that land.
What if I bought that?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it
right now?
I'm just gonna do it, don't worry about it. Speaking of houses
in foreclosure. Wow.
Ronjay, okay, comes to an end,
kind of a dud ending.
I actually was really enjoying it.
Really?
I thought it was like,
I've seen it.
You've seen it a million times.
I was just kind of like, I wish a little more had happened.
Yeah, nothing was accomplished and nothing really happened, but I was lolling throughout.
It was full of lols.
Loud.
But it was a little, I felt like, gotta be quite honest with you, I felt like the ending with Caroline and Danielle was a little like,
yeah, it was.
It was funny, like we'll get to it, but I kind of wanted a little, I mean, you're not going to get what you got in the finale of season one,
mm-mm,
but I think they almost like shot their shot a little too quickly with having the Browns or the fashion show thing mid-season.
Yeah.
I almost wish that had been the finale.
That would have been a good cliffhanger to end on, because then you would open season three with like all this legal drama.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I wanted for nothing, I think, during this season.
Yeah.
And the rewatch felt really great. I think I must have the first time around stopped watching halfway through the season.
Because you don't remember this.
Because I don't remember this that well. But also, it's like, it's not that memorable to begin with.
I guess, yeah, it's like, it was the ending that we deserved.
Yeah.
So it begins with
Teresa's and Joe.
Having the whole clan, and their dining table looks like Dracula.
I said they're hosting a bordello dinner.
They are. Teresa looks great in the scene.
Teresa looks amazing.
It's the best she's
I
ever
think
looked.
That the reason that they're hosting this dinner is to like make up for how horrible they were on that cruise.
Yeah, I think
like
they
this
feel,
feels like a guilt dinner.
It does, and they're having really gross looking Bellinis that look like
blood,
strawberry blood milkshakes,
good fresh period blood.
Blood smoothies from the tomatoes. You can't.
Oh,
have a,
I love a tomato bellini.
You can't have a woman on. It's her menses. You can't have her with the tomato sauce.
You separate her from the tomato. She bleeds, and we bleed the tomato
yeah,
in there, and
no,
we drink it. Oh.
So Gia whipped up a huge vat of pasta for the night and was like, she goes, Mom and Father, we were so bad, terrible, and Italy so bad behaved. We must have them over. We must reconcile.
We have to make it right.
As good Catholics, we must do this.
The tomatoes are ripe and it's time to make it right. When the tomato, you cannot fight when you're all of a tomato.
No. All you can do over tomato and pasta is eat and laugh.
Tomatoes bring people together, except for the women on their period. They get away. Go yeah. away from the tomatoes.
Get out of here, mama. She makes Teresa go sit outside while she makes the red sauce.
And then, well, there's like a knock on the door, and I didn't realize how intensely the knocks sound on the Giudice's doors.
It's all for, I think it's like, it's like putting a string with cans so you can hear someone like walking in
literal like metal. Like, it's the sound. It's knocking on death's door is no, what it's like.
I think it's like a... to so they'll hear it.
Yeah.
So they got time to stash everything.
In that huge house. Yeah. Oh, my God. They answer and Caroline comes in. She goes, look at you.
Look at you.
Look at you. She goes, I have a bottle of wine. It's on the kitchen counter at home.
Thanks, Caroline.
Cool. You forgot to bring it.
So Caroline, the Manzos, the Loritas, they all come. They gather around this giant table and they have
this literal Tales from the Crypt set.
Judice is fairly silent.
He's looking so hot this episode. I think he dyed his hair dark.
Yeah.
He did something with his hair, or he got like a bout of food poisoning and like shed some water weight.
I think he was so traumatized by Italy that when they got back,
he's gone full
he
silent
bleached his
retreat.
Hair or like dyed his hair like teal.
He dyed it jet black
or like teal, and then Teresa was like, he just
Joe,
what'd you do, Joe?
Joe, what's
here.
Wrong with you?
So Teresa, he's like, what? I just wanted to try something new. Like, he was so, he was in a moment of like,
he was having like a gay crisis moment.
And so she forced him, she took him to the salon and to the back, and to the back room of the salon and was like, dye his hair black.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, what'd you do to your beautiful hair?
Joe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so his hair is like a freshly dyed jet black. And they all sit down and they're eating chopped salads, which looked pretty good. Oh, and Caroline goes,
and like this meat thing.
This was very nicely done.
And there were like, there's like meat piles.
There's
what
a lot
that?
Of
meatball?
Meat piles. I didn't really see. I was like focused on the salad, which did look kind of slimy. But then I was into the chopped consistency of it. And I was just wondering, like, I was truly wondering in my head. I was like, I wonder how that tastes. And then Caroline says it's nicely done. And then Teresa's like, everyone thinks that eating Italian food has to be so caloric. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and they're like, and Albert's like, when we were in Italy, we ate so much, didn't gain a thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Made me want to go to Italy.
Let's do it.
Do we need to go to Italy?
Yeah.
And podcast live.
We need to go to
from
Santa
the Colosseum.
Casalina.
We should go to Santa Casalina, find Teresa's relatives. And
how random.
Should we interview them but not speak Italian and they don't speak English, so we just try and have a conversation for like an hour?
Would they welcome us in?
They seemed pretty welcoming.
Yeah.
I think we should just go there and find someone's open door and then do like a Caroline Jacqueline, just eat the pasta.
I know. I want to eat with like pasta with you in a stranger's home.
Yeah. Let's that would go. Be great.
Or that can just happen in North Jersey.
Yeah, we could do that in North Jersey too. First North Jersey, then
Santa Consolina.
Yeah. Everyone's jewelry is insane.
Yeah.
People really turned out the costume jewelry throughout this whole episode.
But this dinner was like an event.
Joe's wearing like a huge silver cross.
Yeah.
Teresa's wearing gigantic chandelier earrings.
That's because there's like a werewolf in the
they're like literally
Tawako or where they live, Tawako.
This is like them gathering on Midnight of the Werewolf to dine on the blood of virgins so that like the werewolf skips their house they save their children. This is like old Italian folklore
it
dinner.
Is. They're like on the Night of the Werewolf we gather and in the home and we eat and drink wine by candlelight and wait for the werewolf. They wait till sunrise.
They hear the wolf howl all night, but they, as long as we're dining together,
they're all together. This,
I love like Italian folklore mysteries. I need to look into more of them.
It's my Simon's dad is from Bavaria and he told me that when he was a little boy, his dad told him that if he was bad, these like harvest around like Halloween time, these like almost like pumpkin goblins would come to your window.
Kim D comes to your window.
And he had a name for him. It was like the Globerstein or something. And he, if him and his siblings were bad, his dad had friends of his like dressed.
Stop.
And they would come to the windows and scare like Berthold. And when he was, and he'd be like, oh, and he's.
That's fucked up.
That's what's happening here.
My dad told me when I was little, like I would always sleep with the lamp on because I just didn't like it to be dark. And then he came and sat down one night. My parents were always trying to get me to turn the lamp off. And even when they turn it off, I just turn it back on.
Yeah.
And then he came in one night and like sat down on my bed and he's like, I just need to tell you like what's going to happen if you keep sleeping with the lamp on. And he told me very matter of factly, he was like, the gremlins drive around at night in neighborhoods looking for kids with lamps on in their room. And then that's how they know, like, that they're going to get you. And the Gremlins movies had just come out, and I was terrified of gremlins. And so he said that the gremlins would drive around, they would see the lamp through my window, and then they would stop at the house, and, like, they would take me away, and that he would try and run after me and get me back, but he wouldn't be able to. Then they would take me away from my whole family. We'd drive into the woods, and I would be able to escape, but I would never be able to find my way back, and I would just have to live with Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. And I was like, and then they turned the lamp off and never turned it back on. It worked like a charm, but I was truly just like,
that's explosive.
That was a long, I love that it ended well-ish for me. Like, I would escape from the gremlins, but the true troll was like, you'll never be reunited with your family, and you'll just live with Snow White and those seven dwarves. I really just didn't want to live fully with them.
I love how your dad just was like, let me break it down to you.
It was a true, it wasn't even like dramatic. It was like a very matter of fact thing that would happen.
Wow. That's,
and I was like, well,
that's horrifying.
The dark it is, I suppose.
At my Nana's house, she had this big, in Massachusetts, she had this like old house, and the backyard faced these like woods behind it, and mm-hmm. it was totally dark out. And my dad and my uncle would play this game with me and my sister and my cousin called Hide and Go Pirate. And there's a big bay window, and we would wait, and then they would just pop out of the darkness and go, and we would scream. But it was actually because they were having cigarettes. They would just be out smoking.
And then they were like, how do we troll these kids?
Or how do we like not seem like absent parents right now?
Oh, yeah. Cigarettes. We're still involved.
Yeah.
Just have a cig.
We were like...
I love like adult dads scaring children. I'm like now remembering my dad and like my friend's dads like scaring us once when we were like playing on a thing and like really causing chaos, because I think one of my friends got traumatized when she was like scream crying, and I was always like, ah, and then be like, dad.
I used to make my babysitters do their homework in my room.
While you were in there, too?
When I was sleeping.
I love that.
Like, I would just, like...
Now, do your homework.
No, I'd be like, until my parents get home, like, can you... And so, like, they were all, like, in high school, and they would just sit in, like, the corner of my room and, like, do their, like, math homework while mm-hmm. I slept. And every so often, I would, like, open my eyes. And I'd see them, and I'd be like...
I love just one eye open to check, and then a calm back to sleep.
And they were like, yeah, okay.
That's good. And
the lights would be completely on, and they would just be in my room while I slept. I had to do what I had to do.
You had to do it.
I needed my protector.
That's what you needed to do to feel safe, by all means.
So they're definitely like...
They're just doing their Italian ritual.
And then...
Caroline decides...
Caroline's like,
I will go meet with Danielle.
Caroline's like, enough is enough. She's like, I gotta make this right. And so she decides then and there that she's had issues. Danielle's had issues with everyone except Caroline, basically. So mm-hmm. Caroline's like, I feel like I'm the most like neutral person, and I'm the least afraid to stand up to her.
Yeah. And I guess everyone's been trying to get Danielle to drop the charges against Ashley, but she refuses to. So Caroline is like meeting with her in hopes that she can convince her to drop the charges.
And Ashley's just kind of like, whatever.
Ashley, well, so Caroline drafts a text and sends it to Danielle.
I like how she texts like under the table.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see it, and this is what the text reads.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you got a screen grab of that, because it was like,
it's to Danielle Staub, and it says, I'd like to put an end to all the nonsense. Let me know when you are available to meet Sunday at 2.
When you were available to meet Sunday at 2.
But also they meet in the dead of night, so that plan fell
through. So that didn't
Danielle
work.
Was like,
Danielle was like, only at night time.
I have to only come out at night.
I am a mother.
So she sends it. And also, I noticed it says 11:45 p.m. I was like, late dinner.
Yeah, there's really like late dinner.
And then we cut to Danielle getting the text from Caroline, and she's like, her daughters are up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's...
Danielle gets the text, and she goes, wow, this is interesting.
And Jillie and Christine are like...
Christine is just staring, and then Jillie is literally staring at a piece of broccoli and just, like, disassociating.
Yeah.
And then Christine goes, want to read it out loud? Mm-hmm. And Danielle goes, yeah, maybe. And Christine goes, please do.
Please do.
And then I wrote, Christine has been radicalized by Danielle. Yeah. And she's like fully crossed over into like Staub land.
Jilly's still
in the dark.
Yeah.
She like doesn't really understand.
Also, every frame of Christine and Jilly is like a Degas painting.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like these sad, gorgeous, like.
Yeah. Leaned up on each other. They're always like in snuggle mode.
And they're always like looking off into the distance.
Their eyes are screaming for help.
Yeah.
And then Danielle is like, explains the situation to both of them. And she goes, well, should I go? And Jilly is like, no. And she's like, why don't you want me to go? And Jilly's like, I don't want you to go. And then Danielle goes, here's the thing. I'm not in fear no more.
She also goes, the first thing I thought was, how the fuck did she get my number?
She goes, I have all of them programmed in my phone. Just do not answer.
I love that, though. Want to read it out loud? And then Danielle goes,
yeah, maybe.
She goes, yeah, maybe. And then
Christine, she goes, please do.
That was then, and this is now.
Danielle has this like long speech to both of her daughters, and you think like maybe for once she'll honor Jilly's wishes. Like, you can tell that Jilly's like, I'm so triggered by you. And worried for you, and the way that you talk about this woman is you're constantly saying she's gonna kill you. So like, in my 8-year-old brain, you're like, you could go and then die, and then I truly have no mother.
Yeah,
please don't go. I really don't want you to go. And then Danielle goes, I'm gonna go. And Jilly just basically goes like cross-eyed in that moment.
Christine's now, you're right. She's like fully like, do it.
Yeah.
Kill her.
When she goes, please do. I was like, she's crossed to the
Danielle
side.
Or she was mocking Danielle.
Yeah. Either way, Danielle doesn't understand like mocking her though.
I think Christine was trolling her a little. I think Christine is like,
you want to read it out loud?
Yeah. And Christine was like, sure.
Please do.
Please do. And then she goes, I will get the dignity and the respect that I deserve.
And it fades to like black, like just an establishing shot of her bordello of blood.
Well, then she goes, matriarch to matriarch.
She may be the matriarch of her family, but I'm the matriarch of mine.
Right?
I'm going to go.
I'm going to go. The
Why
first
didn't
thing,
you want me to go?
The first thing I thought was, how the fuck did she get my number? How the F did she get my number? Because everyone else I have on, do not call back.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I'm the matriarch of this family.
I'm the matriarch of this family.
Jillie's like, don't go, Ma.
Don't go. I just don't want you to. Ma. I'm going to go.
She's going to go. And then we cut to...
Ashley, Caroline.
No, Ashley, Jacqueline, and Chris. And Jacqueline... Ashley's wearing the most offensive beanie
yet
of all time.
It's a baby blue beret. She's back. Like, her model... like sass has faded and now she's just Nightmare Ashley again.
Beanie
and she's
Ashley.
Wearing also a long necklace with a D on it for Derek.
Yeah. They're still together.
God bless Derek. And they Jacqueline and Chris tell her that Aunt Caroline's gonna go to bat for her.
She's like, so until she does this and after this, you are not to reach out to Danielle, you are not to respond to her if she's baiting you in social media, because it's still happening.
Like, stay offline, don't do anything on the internet, like, Ashley stop goes, talking about her.
She goes, I don't care.
I wrote,
I
Ashley,
don't care. She goes, I don't care.
I don't care. And then they just get in the same argument that they keep having.
Yeah.
And I wrote, Ashley should go to jail.
She should.
She deserves to go to jail. She is not understanding the seriousness of her actions.
No.
You can't go around. Like,
she needs to go to some kind of like outdoor.
Like a trust fall exercise. Like a boot camp. She needs to go to therapeutic boarding school. She needs to go to wilderness program. 6 weeks.
She needs to go
then
to wilderness.
Come back.
No, not 6 months.
Yeah.
I want her to go to like Utah and like live and like.
Live on the side of a mountain for 6 months and just have to do like jumping jacks and like live in a pup tent.
I honestly think it would help her.
It would. She has a really shit attitude.
Yeah.
As a teen that had a shit attitude, I can say fully takes one to know one.
Yeah.
And so
you see through her.
I see through her. And also I'm like, it's not doing her any favors. Like, I mean, she's not going to learn any lesson from this because her parents are paying for all of her legal bills. Like, even if it didn't cost that much, it's still money that she doesn't really have.
She's also driving a Mercedes.
She's driving, or a Range Rover of her own. She has, like, Louis Vuitton purses. She's like, it's not like she suffered any true consequences.
No, and
from
she continues to attack Danielle on the phone that her parents are paying for.
Yeah, and, like, just won't stop. When they ask her, please don't do this, she just does it anyways. Yeah. And then gives attitude. And it's like,
you actually don't
understand that, like... And I'm like, how do you like teach a kid a lesson like that? Like,
she's
what
not
do you
a kid
even do?
Either.
And everyone's trying to paint her Karen's like this child. She's 19
she's
years 19. Old.
She's a fucking adult.
Yeah.
Like, and when I was, stop treating her like she's this innocent child. She's a kid. No, she's not.
No.
She's a grown ass girl.
She's a grown woman.
Yeah.
I've never assaulted anyone.
I didn't assault anyone when I was 19.
No.
I peed on a car once, but like...
Par for the course.
I did not. I've never pulled someone's hair. I was never like being charged with assault.
Yeah.
When I was 19. It is not normal behavior.
That's not normal.
And that's the one thing I can kind of agree with Danielle on is like, I think Danielle took it to like...
She's taken it to like a level that
unnecessary
it's like,
level. But she's right to be like, this is not how like kids act.
And she's right to do something about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, send Ashley to prison.
I think she
I'm like,
go to
she
jail.
Needs to go to maximum security
for like a year.
Yeah. Until she like learns some humility and the value of a dollar. Because I'm like, you literally are learning nothing throughout all of this.
They should have done that thing where they like take her in the middle of the night to like a
against her will, like at 19. That's the thing too, is like they actually can't do anything because she's like past, she's not a minor anymore. So, but the only thing to do would be like, okay, well, your car is gone. You can either like lease a new car if you want or not.
Or get a job. And
or you can sell your purses and clothes and whatever, or get a job and like pay for all of this stuff.
And live on your own.
Yeah. Or you can just like figure it out. And if you go to jail, you go to jail.
I would have cut her off.
Yeah.
I would have been like, you need to.
Like, I mean, it's easier said than done because with a wild card like Ashley, who clearly loves to like drink and drive, you're basically being like, if you cut her off, you're cutting her. And then if I'm such like a, oh my God, what if something bad happens to her? Like in that codependent.
No, I do too. And you're not only endangering her life, but like the lives of others.
Yeah. And so it just is like, it's scary. But if you took away a Range Rover, then she wouldn't have a car to drive.
Yeah, she's a mess.
She's a mess. Everything is messy. And bottom line is she needs to be removed.
She needs to go to jail.
Send her to jail.
Send her to jail.
Then Danny comes over to Danielle's.
He takes his shoes off.
She takes his shoes off. She's over him now, I think. She's like, the love affair has ended. He served his purpose.
And then he opens the door and she goes, where's your coat?
Where's your coat?
He goes, it's outside.
And then you see that there's like just piles of clothes on the floor. And he goes, well, what are you doing?
I'm doing a purge.
I'm purging.
There's a giant water
taking everything out that I don't need.
It just looks... I was... That white carpet on the staircase, I was like, I can just... It probably smells weird in there. It
smells musty.
Yeah.
There's just dogs like running around everywhere.
She probably hasn't cleaned it.
It just doesn't...
Well, she doesn't clean.
No, she won't clean.
No.
I don't know if she is a cleaning lady or what that deal is, but it just seems like it's a chaotic house. And also, shockingly different vibes throughout the house. Like, it's really hard to reconcile that her, like, weird...
Parlor room
is in the same house as, like, this staircase and, like, kitchen.
And it has this view of, like, the woods out back, and it's, like, this kind of scary, like, murder mystery room.
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on here?
This is where my ex-husband used to play poker here with his business associates, and I was the hostess.
We hosted many a poker night in this very room.
Many other things.
I saw many a finger get lost in here, tossed right into the forest behind the house.
Danny is, you can tell Danny knows he's losing her.
Yeah.
He's like, what can I do for you?
Yeah, he's kind of like resigned to knowing that it's just over.
Yeah. And he's like sitting on the stairs with his socks.
He's sitting there and he wants to connect. You can tell, but they will never connect in the same way again.
Where's your coat? So she's basically like, Caroline texted me and she wants to meet to like talk out the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so Danny's like, what? He's shocked.
Danny was like, he calls her something like the kingpin or like the boss. The boss of that group, her clan.
He goes, well, Caroline's the ruling party.
Yeah. He just now realizes like the only way he can fuck Danielle again is if he just plays into this like Caroline's a mobster theory. Yeah. He's just like propping up.
So he and Danielle deduce that because Caroline has been so out of the fray this season
that she's
actually the mastermind, and she got Teresa and Jacqueline to chase her through the posh fashion show. She got Ashley to pull her hair. So they warp each other into this
paranoid delusion
that Caroline has been pulling the strings, which maybe she's right.
Maybe she has, maybe to some extent, but like also not. And then she goes, Caroline, you're not Carmelo.
Yeah.
You're not a soprano.
You're not a Sopranos.
I was like, who's Carmelo?
Carmelo.
She thinks she meant Carmella?
Yeah. These women, she goes, Did you? And then she says something about like,
she has a full, she does a full
monologue.
Like, monologue. I wrote the entire thing down. Read it. She goes, "This is what they're telling their daughters and sons to treat women like. Chase them, investigate them, claw at them, rip the hair from their head when they're hiding on the side of a building to get away from you. Woman that I know, not one of them thinks like that. Be in the moment."
And then she says something like, she's talking about these women like, "Would you ring my doorbell?" And I was like, did someone ring her doorbell? Did she get, did Danielle being like,
she's now, getting like ding dong ditched by kids in the neighborhood and yeah. She thinks it's someone about to send her to hell.
I had this whole like narrative that Danielle's getting like, there's some phantom that's like fucking with her and like ringing her doorbell every night. Literally, "Would you ring my doorbell?" And then Danny goes, "What about the doorbell?" And Danielle goes, "Well, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all."
The devil himself rises from hell to torment Danielle, and she thinks it's Caroline.
Old Nick rises with his hooves.
He prances up to her playing like a flute. Yeah. And like a bunch of rats follow him to do his bidding, and like the cockroaches from Cats all march behind the rats.
And he puts his little hoof up to the doorbell and he goes, ding! And then he runs and he scatters away. And Danielle comes outside and all she hears is like the sound of wind. And she goes,
"Who's out there?"
"I know you just rang the doorbell. You will be revealed tonight. You will be revealed tonight.
You will be revealed.
I will stop at nothing to find out the identity of the one who rings my doorbell." That's enough.
That's a fuck enough. Closes the door.
And then one more. Ding dong, ding dong. And she goes back and she goes, "One of these nights I'll catch you. I promise you.
I'm installing security cameras. And next time, there will be guns."
"There will be a gun involved next time. There will be a weapon of some kind involved, and I can't tell you what it'll be, because I have no control over that.
Because I can't legally buy a gun, but I can have a security guard who has a gun.
Or and how about a punch?
Or how about a punch? Next time how you ring that doorbell, I'll get you.
I have a knife.
I'll beat you with a kick. Or how about a punch?
I am allowed access to knives. And I know how to wield them. Butter knife, steak knife, machete.
How about a punch?
Jackknife. Or how about a scissor through the heart?"
She goes, "These legs are strong. I've wrapped them around many a man's neck."
Just shouting into the night.
Shouting into the night.
The neighbors are like,
there she goes again. Jillian and Christine are in the room being like, "Oh my God,
Jillian
Mom.
Has a pillow over her head and Christine
make it stop.
Yeah. Jackknife?
Butter
a twist?
Knife?
A cork?
A backflip?
A wine cork? A screwdriver?
I'll stab it right into your heart, your black heart.
And I'll watch the blood pour from your body as darkness rains upon you."
"All right. Don't do it again." Then she kind of shuts the door, and right as it's about to shut, she opens it again, thinking that she caught them.
"I'm quick like that.
I'm fast. My reflexes are cat-like.
My reflexes are very feline."
"Not bad for 47.
"Most women have problems with their reflexes after the age of 45, but not me."
She goes, "How old do you think I am?"
"You see, ever see a 47-year-old look like this? I think I look pretty good," she says, and then she goes outside.
Then she just takes off her dress and to reveal like a full set of lingerie underneath with like fuck me heels. She's like, "That's right, 47 years of age.
She's holding her
not
arm.
Bad if it's I do say up. So myself. Then she struts out into the front lawn.
Yeah.
Goes, "Can you believe 47 years old?"
And then she does a full routine.
Full model turn. Yeah. She walks to the end of like the driveway, then turns and walks back.
Yeah.
And then, "Anyone want to say something? I thought not."
And then she slowly turns her head around and she goes, "I know you're there." And she goes, "I know you're there. It might not be today, but at some point you'll come for me. And where you'll bring me is where I've always wanted to go. And where I know I need to be. That's right. You've come to bring me to hell.
The day has come.
The day has come.
But it not is today. It's another day. But we'll save that for another time.
And she goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she opens the door and she goes, but if you want, you could send me straight to hell right now.
You could just send me to hell
right
now.
You could just send me to right now.
Just take me right there. Take me there. I'm not really ready, but I will be ready.
I will be ready.
If you want me to be ready, I can go to hell.
I'll do whatever you need. I'll make a deal.
Anyone? I'll count to three. One.
Two.
Two. Three. All right.
Bye.
Bye. And every night she does
and the devil
goes through this whole thing.
Sitting there.
And they all look at each other.
Ooh. Gotta cut.
Danielle goes, I don't think how crazy thinks. She absolutely does.
She totally does.
And then she goes, Danny's like, you should meet them. And then Danielle goes like this.
Yeah, no.
I'm bringing security.
Yeah. And then Danny goes, like, what should I bring? And she and I
Danny
was
goes,
like,
just be ready. Just be ready.
And I wrote, she's bringing a bomb.
Yeah. She's literally has a bomb vest on.
And then she goes, Caroline, who the are you? Like, she, like, bleeps herself out. Who the are you? I was like,
she's doing the work for the editors.
Yeah.
She's like, that's for you. I did that for you.
I did that for all of you, by the way.
I think she's fully addressing, like, the production team.
Who the are you?
Then we cut to Caroline in her kitchen, and she has a full smoky eye scenario.
Her eyeshadow was wild. And her hair is teased in a way that is...
It's like tan France.
She went to... Yeah. She went to... The salon they all go to, Chateau, mm-hmm. and she got her hair.
She had a full blowout.
To filth.
Yeah.
She got
a smoky eye.
Smoky, light blue eyeshadow with, like, I think Lauren did the makeup.
Yeah, probably.
She looks like Reba McEntire.
She does look like Reba Dragontire.
Yeah.
Then she's like talking to her kids and she goes, I'm going to go try to get pretty.
You know, so she just casually is.
I got to go.
Yeah, like she wasn't already made up to go.
Yeah, I was like, what? And then she went in her closet, and then spends a lot of time like putting a statement like necklace with a top to like see what is going to work best.
Yeah. And Lauren's like, Mom, you don't need to do this.
I love everyone making a huge deal out of this meeting.
Yeah, they're like worried something's going to happen to her.
Yeah. All sides are very worried.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that something actually could have happened, except not, because it's being filmed by an entire production crew.
It just shows you like what fear can do to people and like
drives
like,
people insane. It's like, mass hysteria.
It is mass hysteria. Like they both like it's like the witch trials.
Yeah.
It's literally the crucible.
What do they think is like
each side thinks something of the other and it's how wars start.
Mm-hmm. This is how wars start.
Yeah.
Danielle pre-games for this meeting by calling Sarai to help to do a cleansing on her and help her lead with love.
She goes, Sarai's like, would you like me to do an energy scan on you? And then Danielle goes, definitely scan me. Keep me balanced. And then
Sarai starts to perform like the scan.
She tells her to breathe and she goes,
breathe in, breathe out. She goes, did you feel that?
And Danielle goes, oh yeah, I always feel it when you do that.
She goes,
when you start on me.
I always feel it when you start on me. And I was like, oh, Danielle, why do you have to start?
She sexualizes everything. She and
this
Sarai
is her how about
have.
A punch. They've had phone sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, oh yeah, I always feel it when you start on me.
I always feel it when you start on me.
She's just having her like stand and... Danielle's sitting there with her hands, and she's in that parlor room.
Mm-hmm.
And
The devil's lair.
And then she heads out. I wrote the quote, oh yeah, I always feel it when you start me, and I wrote, sexual period. What?
And then Danielle goes, I don't have any stress knowing that there's guys here with guns.
Jerry, her bodyguard.
And Jerry and Jean.
Jean, yeah. These two...
Two true strangers.
Yeah.
And then... Caroline's booked a private room for them
at the Abbey. Yeah. They fly to West Hollywood.
They literally
go to the chapel on a Sunday
at the Abbey of New Jersey.
Caroline's like, I rented out a room because I know Danielle likes a scene, but I'm not going to be giving it to her.
And that was a smart move.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, there's like this uncomfortable dinner at the Brownstone happening where everyone on Team Caroline has gathered for another feast. And Ashley and Jacqueline are at each other's throats.
Ashley has serious smoky eye.
Yeah.
It's a night of smoky eye. Lauren, I think, gave everyone a smoky eye.
Yeah.
It's like,
Lauren was like, you know what I've been meaning to try, I would love to try on you guys, is like a smoky eye. And everyone got in line, and one by one, she smoked all their eyes out. Ashley's wearing, does she have another beanie in this scene?
She
she's kind of flat beanie hair.
Yeah, her hair is like kind of curled a little and gelled.
Yeah.
And she's wearing like,
like a gray top.
Yeah, and everyone looks miserable. But and like, it's kind of chaotic, right?
Yeah, it's really chaotic because there's so many children there. Half, like the last quarter of the table's set, but no one's eating at it, which felt really weird.
But it feels like there's an event of some kind happening in the other part of the Brownstone because it feels like there's like chaotic, loud energy. And Teresa's at the head of the table.
Yeah, I love it. Where she goes to someone else's like establishment and then sits at the head. Also, in the first dinner that they had before Caroline said, like, I'll go try and talk to her,
yeah,
there's a moment where Teresa's like, Caroline was like, I won't raise my voice, I'll just talk to her like this, like I'm talking to yous. And then Teresa's like, I mean, that's what I did, that's how I was, and like what happened. And I was like, you literally didn't. You called her like a whore.
You called her a whore and ran.
You called
her
like a bitch and then ran after her, threatening her while Jacqueline like squealed about her like beating people with guns. You did not like come.
And then you like momoed, hawked outside of her car and like stalked her.
Fully were place of Momo. I just want to talk to the bitch. I just want to talk to the bitch. Just want to talk to the bitch.
And then Chris.
Ashley escapes to the bathroom.
Yeah, Ashley and Jacqueline leave, or Ashley and Jacqueline
Ashley
fight.
Goes
Ashley
to
runs
cry in the bathroom.
The parlor, the ladies' powder room. And then Chris goes.
The boys go to the bar.
Yeah, Joe and Chris go to the bar, and Derek comes in, and he's like, this has got to stop. And he tells Derek, he goes, you got to make Ashley shut her mouth.
She goes, she's got to learn to keep her mouth shut. So just tell her, like, next time, just shut your mouth. I was like, I wrote scary.
Yeah. Scary.
I don't love that.
Don't love that advice.
That's like, we took it a step too far.
I don't think Derek is down for that.
No, Derek is like, this weirds me out.
He's this is a crazy family.
He's like, I'm in way over my head. Yeah. Then Ashley, I wrote, Ashley's in hell.
She's in the stall.
Ashley is like, now, where I do find a lot of empathy for her is that she's just trying, when she's like, I'm 19, I'm trying to like, I have a voice too. I was like, oh, you are kind of like feminist hero, Ashley, like just trying to find yourself and be a woman in this
feminist
world.
Folk hero, Ashley
feminist
Holmes.
Folk hero, Ashley Holmes fights to have a voice amongst like old school patriarchy Italian.
Yeah, I didn't like her dad telling her boyfriend to tell his daughter to shut her mouth.
No, that's psychotic.
Just tell her to keep her mouth shut.
Why would you ever have a man why would you ever tell anyone to keep their mouth shut? But then like deputize the love of her life currently to then be like, hey, keep your big fat mouth shut.
Like, I'm imagining if like my dad told my sister's husband, like, tell Taryn to keep her mouth shut.
What if you were dating a guy and then you were like, you're like, you know what I think? I just, and he goes, hey, keep your mouth shut. Shut your mouth.
I would leave them. I would leave him immediately.
That would be psychotic.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd break up with him. If Derek was, and he was like, keep your mouth shut.
Unless they were really, really hot, like Italian guy.
Yeah. Maybe.
We could have some role playing in that arena.
I could do that for like one night. And then
I could
I'd
do
be
it
like,
for like a week, I think. Yeah. And then I'd be like, actually, once I'd come out of like my sex haze, I'd be like,
actually,
I don't
this makes
love
me
it
feel
when you tell
small.
Me to yeah. keep my mouth shut. But I would be like, I thought that you were doing that as like a sexual thing at first, but now I realize you actually just want me to keep my mouth shut.
And I don't like that.
And I don't like that. I'm going to keep my mouth open.
Yeah, but not
so
with
if you want a blowjob, I'm your girl. If you want me to keep it shut, I got to go. How about a punch?
How about a punch?
How about a punch?
How about
a kick?
How about a knife?
A butter
jack knife?
Knife?
butter knife, machete. So then Jacqueline and Lauren have to go like console her in the bathroom.
Yeah, Ashley's like weeping. Jacqueline just like sasses her. The power struggle between Ashley and Jacqueline is so real.
Yeah. Ashley gets Jacqueline. She makes Jacqueline leave.
Jacqueline knows exactly what to do to just set Ashley the fuck up. She created her. She is of Jacqueline.
Yeah.
She is just of Jacqueline.
And she like, is.
She
Ashley
is
like a hand in like the handmaid. So.
She is Jacqueline's like handmaid.
Yeah.
Except in this, it's like a matriarchal handmaid society. And so Jacqueline knows like if Ashley says something and then she can clap back at her, that will just like ruin Ashley's life.
It's not matriarchal though. They all defer to their husbands.
Yeah. But
it's actually, they're all like the Serena Joy.
Yeah. The Serena Joy. And then Jacqueline goes in. She knows that she's in like the power seat. She can basically tell Ashley, like, you're disrespectful. Yeah. Shut up. And like,
you need to learn to keep your mouth. You need to not have such a fresh mouth.
And then she like, she goes, ah, teenagers. Ah.
And she leaves. And then Lauren's like, cousin talk, like, yo, go up there and just like, gotta set things right.
Lauren's like, we're gonna go back up there. We can be arm in arm if you want. And then she goes, swallow the cry. And get back up there and let's have a nice dinner. I love Swallow the Cry.
Yeah.
That is like their anthem.
Swallow the
cry.
Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings. Sorry.
She goes, you need to know your place. So she convinces Ashley to like
become mute.
Mute.
Yeah. Give up, she says.
Give up.
Give into it.
Give into your handmade truth.
Yeah. And then Ashley's like, you know what?
Fine.
Also, I wanted to hang in that bathroom more.
I love that bathroom. I love like a country club bathroom.
Italian restaurant bathroom.
And it just has like so many lounge areas. Yeah. And then I love when bathrooms have floor to ceiling,
yes,
like individual private stalls where you can't see any feet or anything. Yeah. Like I want to feel enclosed in a bathroom room where I can do whatever I need to do and know that it's my journey that is not shared with others.
Yeah, I hate seeing, like, you know, like when you're like done your business and you're like wiping and you see the feet cocked towards the toilet, you know what's happening.
I don't want to be aware of anyone's coming or going. I want to be able to fully focus and have a moment of zen with whatever I need to do in that bathroom stall.
I want to go to the brownstone bathroom so bad. The men's room won't be as nice.
I bet it could be nice.
But I remember like in like the nicer restaurants when I was little, I used to like on the way and you would see like when the women would go into the bathroom, they would turn the corner into like, and there was just,
there's,
you
just know, like was, a, yeah, a was, powder room.
But there was like a, there was a single like couch right in the center in the entryway to the room. And you were just like, ooh, that looks good.
Yeah.
I want to go in there.
The bathroom.
The men's room was just disappointing.
Yeah. There were always like plush chairs or couches and like a flower arrangement. And then like beyond that into the bathrooms. I love like a powdery smelling, like luxurious woman's room.
It's an experience.
It's a full immersive experience.
And I love
experience.
The community that it probably invokes.
Yeah. Like, the bathroom is a safe place where you can be friends with everyone.
Just sit in the lounge, talk about things.
You just take a breather.
Take a breather.
You take a bathroom breather.
Yeah.
Then when you get outside of the bathroom, it's a man's world.
It's a manzo's world.
It's a manzo's world. We're just living in it.
Yeah.
So Caroline and
also Albert goes, they go, I wonder how Caroline's doing. Albert goes, maybe Caroline's being pistol whipped and kidnapped. I was like,
okay,
cool, that's your wife.
So she meets with Danielle and Danielle struts in with one of her bodyguards who like scans the room to make sure it's safe.
Danielle, the way she approaches Caroline is so snake-like.
Mm-hmm. She's slithering.
Her hair looks great.
She looks beautiful.
She got a facial, a blowout. Mm-hmm. She got a new outfit. She's wearing tight leather pants.
Yeah, she got several colonics in the week leading up to this meeting.
Her skin is flawless.
Yeah.
She's had maybe a little Botox.
But it's looking great.
She's looking great.
Yeah, she's
tight. Her face
tight.
Is molted. It's good. She sits down and she goes, Caroline? And Caroline goes, I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you for taking the time.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Caroline?
Caroline?
Caroline? She sits down, she clanks.
And then Caroline speaks for a while and says her piece.
Yeah. And Danielle goes, so far, I agree with you.
Then Caroline says some more, and then Danielle goes, all right, I'm going to have to speak now.
I'm going to have to talk now.
I was accosted.
I was accosted. And then she goes, what did she say to her? What's the question Danielle can't answer?
Well, Caroline starts to get heated, and then she's like, what have I ever done to you? What have I ever done to you? And then Danielle goes, I'll tell you what you've done to me.
Well, first she's stumped.
Then she pauses and doesn't know. And then she goes, what have I ever done to you? Which I was like, this is a fantastic pivot.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
And she goes, you went after Ashley. You went after Jacqueline. And she goes, they're me. Ashley's me. Jacqueline's me. Dean is me. Lexi's me. And then she goes, oh, whatever, Caroline.
And Caroline goes, you're going to have to take a deep look in the mirror. And then Danielle goes, I look in the mirror, quite frankly, a lot these days.
And I like what I see.
The first time you met me, you had me investigated.
And then
Caroline, how's that for all your friends who are under indictments right now? She goes there.
And Caroline goes, when I stand, I don't stand alone. I stand with my family. And Danielle just goes, ugh.
I like that Danielle's taking it to a place of like your friends are under indictment.
I know.
Which is what none of us are talking about,
below
but I'll
belt.
Say it.
Yeah.
And then Caroline's trying to take like a virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Like, I stand with my family, I'm like a good guy.
And Danielle goes, and I stand with my family too. I have children too. And she goes, and Caroline goes, and God bless them.
God bless
your beautiful daughters. I'm happy for you.
Then Danielle's word of the day has been matriarch.
Yeah.
So she's used it 20 times since then. She goes, you're the matriarch of your family, but I'm the matriarch of mine.
I'm the matriarch of mine.
And then Caroline goes, you know what you are? You're a clown.
And then Danielle looks fully like, that like actually was like the
meanest thing. It shook her to her core.
You could say it. Like, she goes, you know what you are? You're a clown.
Danielle's taken aback.
She goes, I'm a clown?
She goes, you're a clown? And when I said you were garbage, I meant it.
And Danielle goes, you're the clown. You got the red hair.
I was like, touche.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't really come in with a clown head looking to call Danielle a clown. And then Danielle has had enough. And so she gets up to go. And then Caroline goes, have a nice life. She goes, I have a very nice life.
Also, Caroline goes, your entourage called my son a faggot.
Yeah, that's
And I like the way Caroline said faggot. And she goes, I can't control what anyone else does. And then she goes,
that wasn't me.
And she goes, and neither can you, Caroline. She goes, you're not God.
Point, Danielle.
Yeah. Yeah, so then they leave.
Then Danielle struts out. She walks outside like she's going to get shot.
I have also the way she stands when she's... Wait.
She struts outside, looks around.
Look at her stance.
She strikes a pose at the bottom of the stairs.
Ready to go.
Ready to go?
Yep. Call me garbage once, call me garbage twice. I think that's about enough.
Yeah. She goes,
ready to go. And then the guy's ready to go. And then he goes, all right, Gene will stand with you while I go. He was packed in the emergency spot, so Gene will stand with you. And then Gene comes up, a man I don't think we've seen before.
No, silent.
And then Danielle proceeds to just speak to Gene as though he's completely in on the know, which she probably spent the whole ride there, like, debriefing him. And she goes, that's very, very funny. Very funny stuff, her family says. That's nice that she wants me to drop charges against Ashley, but why would I? Gene is literally not speaking.
Yeah. And she goes,
I'm not going to be called garbage by her or anybody. And he's like, okay.
And there's a shot of her standing next to the building, like almost in like a corner. And she goes, A message for Teresa.
Oh, she goes, Teresa's husband is a drunk. Jacqueline?
Certifiable. And she goes, oh, and a message for Teresa. She goes, my kids wore lace and crinoline at those ages.
My dogs were leopard.
My dogs wore leopard. I love Jacqueline under indictment. Or
Teresa's
Teresa?
Husband is a drunk.
Teresa's
Jacqueline, certifiable. A little message for Teresa. My kids
wore lace and crinoline at those ages.
My dogs wore leopard. Oh, I get what she's saying. I thought she said her dogs were leopards. I was like, damn, she had fucking leopards?
No, she was saying like
she's the like outfits dogs
her,
wear.
Teresa's kids are in is what her dogs wore.
Yeah.
And her kids were like, they were like.
Her kids wore amazing outfits and like, yeah. Teresa wears leopard and like her, she would put her dogs in leopard. Yeah. I literally thought she was so rich. She just had leopards.
I mean, maybe I could, it's like Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith growing up with a lion in their home.
Just a little message there.
Just a little. I just love that. Jacqueline, certifiable.
Teresa's husband's a drunk.
Jacqueline, certifiable.
My dog's wore leopard.
Just rambling.
Yeah.
And then she gets
Jean
home.
Is literally like, okay.
It's like 12 a.m. on a Sunday. The girls are in pajamas. Christine and Jillian are in the corner of her room looking terrified. And
Jillian's like messing with the TV.
Yeah. And she's trying to get like the antenna to work. And then Danielle walks in with two men they've never met.
Danielle goes, here I am in one piece.
She goes, come thank the men that protected mommy, girls. Come on. We hug.
She goes, say thank you. And Christine gets up and goes over. She goes, Jilly.
And Jilly and they give these like robotic hugs. And she goes, and Danielle goes, ha, we hug. And then that's the end of Danielle.
Yeah. And she goes, it's done. And they go, really? And then it just closes up on Christine. And it said, Christine is modeling for IMG and featured in Black Book magazine. Jillian is pursuing a recording career and performed at a New York street fair.
Yeah. And then Danielle is, her tell-all is coming out.
Danielle has a tell-all memoir and a single. A sex tape with her and a mystery man has been released by Hustler. So then I was like, oh, she released that through Hustler.
But that's the end of Danielle.
Did she come back for the next season?
No, she didn't come back until like a few years ago.
She was gone after season? Damn.
Never to be seen. And then she emerged like last season, and then her and Teresa were suddenly best friends.
Wow.
Her and Teresa are like...
tight. They're thick as thieves.
Super tight.
Yeah. Whoa.
And she causes quite a stir.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that this is like her last season. That must have been why I fell off of Jersey, is because I just knew my queen had gone.
I love that. Come thank the men who helped mommy, girls.
Jilly.
Making like... I just like, want to go to bed.
Hugging a stranger.
These random men.
I love when she's done and they're like, really? Like, they're so happy that it's finally over.
It's done.
Really?
Really? Can we go to bed?
Then we cut to the brownstone where everyone is gathered. The whole purpose of their dinner was gathering to like welcome Caroline back from this meeting.
And they all, it's like she went and talked to her in an empty restaurant. It's not, she comes back.
It's not
back,
that dramatic.
And everyone goes, Karen, and Jacqueline goes, Caroline, sweet, sweet Caroline.
Jacqueline's shit face.
Wasted. And then Teresa goes, I see it in Caroline's eyes, the blood, bloody eyes,
her
you know,
hair,
red
her
eyes.
Her eyes are as red as a hair.
She's been through a lot. I'm like,
Caroline's like, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I'm exhausted.
It's over. Ashley, I did that for you, I went to bat for you. And then Ashley goes, Caroline. Or she goes, Aunt Caroline, thanks.
Which is like, what is over? And nothing is that over.
And they're all listening to Caroline at one point, and there's a shot of Adriana looking like... She is listening like, in a way that is like she's
fully cognizant aware. Of everything that's going on.
She looks like an old lady.
Adriana's face is like like just fully in that one shining moment.
Yeah.
It closes up on Ashley and it says Ashley pled guilty to one count of simple assault and paid a $189 fine.
Yeah.
And the judge dismissed the harassment charge. I'm like, great, she learned nothing.
Yeah. And then Jacqueline's
trying to lose the baby weight.
Yeah.
To troll.
And she's still close with Kim G.
Yeah.
And then Teresa and Joe are in $11 million of debt.
I love just trying to slip that in there, which is like, wait, what?
Yeah. Even though she's enjoying the success of her best-selling book, Skinny Italian.
Which I need to actually have. I don't know how it own that.
I think it was like number one in the
New York Times. I didn't realize it came out in season two, like so early on.
It was like top of the New York Times bestsellers.
Teresa's a fucking renegade.
She is. But
God fucking bless Teresa, but $11 million.
$11 million.
That's not $1 million, which is still a lot of money to be in debt. That's like, even like $10,000 is a lot of money.
$11 million.
$11 million.
That's more money than Donald Trump has.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is a insane amount of money to owe and declare bankruptcy over. And so this was the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah.
God, what a history.
What a history. And then we cut to, fucking man,
and says their house is not in foreclosure. Yeah. They insist, even though they're in 11 mil.
Yeah. Even though they have a...
Even though they forged bankruptcy documents. And
the
like,
next season, they have a sheriff sale.
What's that?
That's when you're...
Is that when you just sell everything?
That's when, like,
you liquidate all your assets to pay...
That's when, like, the state comes and, like, it's like a state auction. It's like...
And then they take whatever money is earned and put it towards your debt?
It's like a... When you have a sheriff sale, it's like you're in deep shit.
I feel in my body like the nightmare of that process for them.
And they were in the next season, Chris and Jacqueline and a few of their friends like offer to buy everything for them and just sell it to them so they don't have to like go through like the humiliation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, it's fine.
Oof.
I know. And then we cut to, like, the Manzo kid. Like, I don't care.
What season did Teresa go to prison?
Dina came back in that season, I think. Season 6? Season 5 or 6? She was gone, and then she came back. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I know. And Joe, once he goes, he's gone.
Yeah.
Because he's...
And that's what we're seeing now is, like, on season... The current season is, like... What are we going to do about this Joe situation?
Yeah.
But now he's gone. Now he's on Cameo.
Yeah. I know. For like $160.
Eh.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get you one.
Hey.
Maybe I'll get you one.
You know what? I would appreciate it.
And then we see... Albie is graduated from the police academy. Chris is still working at the Brownstone.
But we both had a moment because I was watching the last tail end of the episode when Carrie got here. And I was like, you know what? Chris is actually like highly fuckable.
I completely agreed. I've been saying that.
You've been saying that and I really shit on you for it. But now I've come around and I'm like, Chris is actually the best one. He's funny.
I would sit on his face.
He gets it. He'd be a fun guy to date. Yeah.
He'd be great.
He's great.
He'd be like goofy in bed.
Yeah. And like just a kind of a lawler.
And probably like open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Then you
could get invited around and get all the cooking, which is what I'm really in it for, is those meat plates.
I got shit.
I know. It was unjust.
Not just from you. From everyone in the group.
From everyone in the community.
Everyone in the community.
Community. I'm saying Albie is a 0 for me on the binary. Chris is a 1. I'd do it.
100%.
100,000%.
Lauren is still dating Vito with Albie's blessing.
I know. Like, when it cool. gave like a recap on Lauren, I was like, no one cares.
I know. And then Caroline and Albert are spending more time together.
He's taken some time off so they can really relax together. God.
Caroline goes, I wouldn't change a single one of them.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Like, cut to next year when you and Teresa are enemies.
Yeah, when you're feuding.
But... So we're going to be back with the reunions.
We'll be back with reunions. We're trying to figure out our next move.
Guys, in the meantime, tickets are still available for our LA show.
Oh my God, yes.
Tickets are going down. The numbers are getting smaller, but there's still spots available.
Get on it before it's too late.
It's like three weeks away, guys.
Yeah. March 11th at the Roxy.
We need a strong LA opening to like open this little tour, and we need our hometown honeys to come on out
and represent.
Whoop it up for us, to woo at us, to heckle us if we deserve it.
No heckling, please. I ran into longtime listener Ruth Ann at the Byredo store opening, and I said, are you coming to the show? And she said, yes. So that's huge.
Thanks, Ruth Ann. A lot of people are coming. Good people are coming. Fun people are coming.
It's going to be. We're going to be having a blast.
Just come.
And we want to lol with you.
It's going to be, you know, like just a ragtag night. And we're going to be
at the Roxy, at the Roxy, iconic Roxy Theater where Sheena Shea once took the stage to play the song Girl I Wanna Be.
Right in the Sunset Strip, baby.
Yeah.
Get on out there. It's an iconic area. It'll be fun. It'll be balmy. It'll be March. Like, spring is just around the corner in LA. Like, it'll be like, oh, you just need a little bit of a coat, maybe a little fleece, and just come on out.
How about a fleece?
Get blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Don't get too drunk where you're like,
don't get scary drunk
or like endangering people, but like, have fun.
Yeah.
Drink with your.
Get a buzz. Don't get wasted.
Get a buzz.
As our queen Sheena would say.
Don't get tequila, Katie. Get.
Yeah. Get saucy Sheena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, you can find links to tickets at LarsMarie.com, or you can look at our Instagrams. We're always posting links.
Chicago, New York coming up soon.
Yeah, March 18th in Chicago at Sleeping Village. New York, April 22nd at the Gramercy Theater. That show's going to be fucking bonkers. Raucous. And it's all happening.
It's all happening. You can follow Florence Pugh on Instagram.
Follow Florence Pugh fan. Celebrate Florence. You can follow a bunch of Florence Pugh fan accounts on Twitter. If you go and you follow me or you look at the people that I'm following, you'll see them. Follow me at Lars Marie. Follow Carrie at eCarrie O.
Follow Annie McDowell.
Follow Annie McDowell. She's always sharing.
And follow...
who's a good follow right now?
Annie's been killing me. She posted that, like, Grace Coddington posted a photo of her deceased cat, and Annie went, a laugh. Had to laugh.
Had to laugh.
By mistake. She thought it was, like,
just a funny... Cute, yeah.
Who have I been loving? Joanna Cassidy is great.
Okay, I love that.
She's a deep cut, but she's fun.
I highly recommend following Farrugia Balk on Twitter.
Oh, I will.
She is great, and she tweets up a storm. She, I think, has a pet turtle.
She political?
Not as much. She tweets about the moon a lot. Hmm. She's mystical and witchy, and I really like her quite a bit.
Oh, and just really fast, Isaac Mizrahi... has officially endorsed Mike Bloomberg and was talking about how Bloomberg made it safer to be gay or LGBT in New York City, which I don't know if that's accurate, but
safer maybe for him to be gay.
It gave me the good sense to go back and find that video of him on QVC where he was arguing with the host that the moon is a planet.
Isaac was?
Yeah. He's like, it's a planet. And she's like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, yes, it is.
I don't think so. I love not feeling like...
Well, she thought it was a star.
Oh, okay.
But then she's like, actually, I don't think... And then Isaac is convinced. Just watch it. It's a good...
So just go to YouTube and search QVC, yeah. Isaac Mizrahi, moon is a planet.
And then you realize, oh, his endorsement for Bloomberg makes sense. So that's God, all for me.
Love him.
Love you.
Love you.
Love all y'all.
Love you guys. Bye. Bye.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.